little parenting, a little insanity. A podcast for the modern parent. It's Parenthood by Fire.
Yes. Another episode of Parenthood by Fire with yours truly, Mike, joined by the lovely
Jennifer,
Pedro,
and Lainey.
All right, guys. How's the week been? Good?
Great. Yeah.
Nice?
Yeah.
Anything fun? Oh, I took the kids camping.
Yeah?
Yeah, we are past the stage of camping in tents. Matter of fact, all of us have camped together.
Yes,
I'll bring
this
up to the listening community. I'd like to do it again. I know it's very late in the season now, so we're probably done for this season. However, next summer, I'm going to ask you on the air here, so you have to feel forced to answer it. We stopped tent camping. Can't do that anymore. It's just not working out for us.
Bad on the knees? Mm-hmm.
Bad on the knees, bad on the back, bad on the back. Just bad altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and splurged on a tent trailer for my family, and we've been making good use out of it. The kids freaking love it. Okay. And so I want to invite you guys to a spring camp trip. And I expect you all to say yes.
Let's do it.
All right.
Wouldn't it be fun?
When
was the last time we did it?
It was when Red was 13 or 14 months because he had just learned how to walk.
And he is eight years old now.
That's the last time I went camping.
We did it in a really, really, really big group. We probably can't do that anymore with the litter of children that we have. But I'm thinking our four families could manage it.
Mm-hmm.
A couple campsites side by side. And I know we don't all have trailers, and it's not about making use of the trailer. But it's a lot of fun with kids now. I find that the kids really, really love it.
We might even rent a trailer because we've been toying around getting one. So
and there is actually a campground area that we've been going to a lot this season. It won't be relevant to the listeners. They actually let you. They'll have it set up for you in the campsite. So you can rent one. It'll be set up for you.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And then so we could pull ours, park it next, and, you know, a couple families could share that or get a couple of them.
We're so soft now. I'm gonna do the complete opposite. We're just going to bring just blankets, not even like sleeping bags. We're just going to woolen blankets, no pillows, no mats. We're going to cut down branches. We're going to put those on the ground, and that's what we're going to sleep on. That's what my family's going to do. And then we're going to hunt for food. That's
I'll let Owen and Otis come in.
Was that Owen Motus?
Owen Motus. Yeah. Mo and Otis come in and sleep in my trailer.
They're not going to be
in while they're sleeping in your trailer.
And Joe can come sleep in ours, and then you can enjoy your tent.
My wife had the quarters to pay for the showers, and she's like, do you want to take a shower? Like, that, you can use my quarters. It's cool. I'll sweat it out. I'll go swim in the lake.
Ew.
Oh, come on. It's a weekend. Serious?
Did you go with the bar of soap?
Suburbanites, all of you.
Did you go with the bar of soap into the lake?
No, hell no. I went out there, swam, had a good time, came back.
Scrubbed yourself with a
You're
rock.
Camping, folks. Are you all that suburban that you can't like go out there and just shower for a day?
It's really
it
just
feels
you, Mike.
Gross to me. I want to shower.
No, Ed. Nah, you need
I think
shower.
It's guys. It's different than guys versus girls.
Yeah, you don't
come
have
on,
to
Dad.
You don't have to shower. No,
can you go one day without showering?
Yeah, because
you're just going. We went Friday. I showered Friday before I left. Saturday I didn't shower, and then I showered Sunday when I came home. You guys have never woken up for a day and not showered.
Oh, as a stay-at-home dad? I mean, you just posted, a couple weeks ago about you actually had time to shower this morning?
I did.
Yeah, so.
There we go.
So, there's days where a shower comes much later in the day than I'd like it to. Yeah. Where I go to drop off Mo at kindergarten, and my hair's not looking like it should. It's just kind of half-cocked off to the side.
I have that problem a lot.
Yeah, you do.
I do. Yeah. Matter of fact, I showered. I did not shower today, just for the record.
Thanks, Mike.
So y'all know.
Let's scoot away a little bit.
I didn't brush my teeth today either, now that I think about it.
It's okay. Coffee kills
keep
most
going
of that.
With the coffee,
I'm keep
then,
drinking
please.
That coffee, exactly.
don't get any closer.
Yeah. We're separated by glass, like the studio with glass walls. With all of the episodes here of Parenthood by Fire, we always come with a topic. And Pedro drew the short straw this week.
I did.
Matter of fact, before we dump into that, one more thing I do want to tease. You had a new feature that we're going to launch next week, correct?
Yes.
What is the feature?
So I want to do kind of those magical parenting moments. And so when all of a sudden we have a stroke of genius and something that we do works with our children, we want to come in and share it with you so we can get appropriate kudos for being awesome. So look for that next week.
Okay, excellent. And what's the title of it going to be? Do we know yet?
I haven't really totally decided, but I'm thinking like Parenting Brilliance or Parenting Magic maybe would be good.
Parenting Magic.
Parenting Magic, and then we can share tips and things that just make us brilliant.
I like that. I got to look for, as the one of the producers here of the show, I got to look for fun, magical sound effects. I don't know if that works, but... Okay, well... Maybe not popular by the group. Maybe not. Okay. Pedro, what's the topic that you brought for this week? Go ahead, Pedro.
So, yeah, we were...
Ooh, I like that one.
You like that one?
Parenting Magic.
Not that last part.
That's a little psychedelic at the end there.
The first part with
the
tinkling.
Good.
Yeah. So we were talking a couple weeks ago about about media. And... So just to kind of piggyback off of that, we talked about how there was a ton of media. And one of the things that really struck me that we didn't get a chance to talk about at all was video games. Video games are a huge source of media nowadays. And I mean, growing up in the 80s, I was exposed to Nintendo and Sega and all the rest of the stuff. But as our world has become more interconnected, our video games have launched everywhere, right? There's no longer an arcade that we go to, or there's no longer just a small system. We have all kinds of systems. And just to remind you of what systems are out there, I have a list here. Right now, in the 2013, there is the Nintendo Wii U, as well as you have old Nintendo Wii.
What about the 8-bit NES?
That's still out there. I mean,
still have one here in the studio, in one of the boxes here.
Yeah, I mean, that came out in 83, I think, is when it came out. So that's well over 30 years old. Jesus. Yeah, exactly. These are the big ones. So Wii U, there's also the Game Stick, which is a smaller one. There's a Mojo, which is a smaller one. Game Pop. There's the PlayStation 4, which is coming out, but most people still have the PlayStation 3. There's the Steam Box, which is a big one by Valve. They're a big game manufacturer.
I actually feel pathetic right now. I haven't heard of half of these.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, some of these this is worldwide. So,
oh, gotcha.
So these are things out there. And the Xbox One is coming out this winter too. So folks, remember what to buy your kit, your parents or your, ladies, what to buy your man. Yeah.
I find it very interesting nowadays with the popularity of gaming systems that there are actually trailers now, like official trailers to games.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen this, right?
Most games are like movies and stuff. Like they send them out as movies.
Yeah.
What's this one?
This is
There are those who wear masks to hide.
Just the ghosts.
Wow!
Yeah, this
really?
Is the new
the masks.
This is the new Call of
Just
Duty.
Just show us what they stole.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm shocked that he knew that. I had to look it up.
We play the new one right now, or the older one.
Even I knew that because that's...
It's actually frightening. Do you see the imagery here on the screen?
That trailer's on during football games.
Yeah, so that's... Fear. The video games have inundated our lives, and they're everywhere, and they're the new source for... movies that come out now. They're really shot like movies. I mean, one of the big games out right now that came out a couple weeks ago is Grand Theft Auto 5, which is a really like a movie, but it's a very graphic, violent, sex-filled, drug-filled
was that the controversial game where you could hump the prostitute, or I'm sorry,
well, yeah, that was the
make love to a adult.
Yeah, that was the original Grand Theft Auto. So as the Grand Theft Autos have gotten older, they've added more things, and you used to be able to buy a prostitute, you used to be able to buy drugs, then you could beat up the prostitute and take their money, you could carjack people. So just a few more things out there about video games. This is a statistics from 2012. So this is from the Entertainment Software Association. So this is the association for all the software entertainers. And these are just some statistics from 2012. So 49% of homes 49% of homes have a dedicated game console. And then they own an average of two of them. And I know that we took a little poll before we started, and each one of us own at least two. I own an Xbox 360 and a Wii. Lainey, you said you own a...
A PlayStation 3 and a Wii.
And a Wii. Jennifer, you own a...
I have a Wii and an Xbox and a PlayStation, and I really don't know what I have. I think it's just a lot.
And your husband said there's an Xbox One on the way, right?
So, yeah, that's been pre-ordered.
And, oh, I own a Wii.
And a PlayStation, because I remember we used to play Rock Band. on
That's
his,
right. Yeah. I still do play Guitar Hero.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
But I still play Guitar Hero on the Wii. The kids love it.
But here's the crazy thing, right? Our kids want to play these video games, but the average video game player is 30. That's the average age. So, and most
really?
Most of these video games are online now, so our kids have access to these online communities. And when you talk about and here's the breakdown, right? So the average age is 30, but 32% are under the age of 18, 31% are the ages between 18 and 35, and 37% are actually over the age of 36. So the majority of people that play video games are much older than our younger children are. And so these older people are exposing our younger kids to their ideas or to their language or to their to the ideas of violence. And so
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize.
No.
I've tried playing some of the newer consoles and like the Call of Duties and stuff. I don't know if I just don't people call me T-Rex because I have short arms, but I don't know if I have the dexterity to play these kinds of games because they require a lot of physical dexterity and not just that, the mental capacity to be able to control all the movements. But what disturbed me was not the fact that I stink at these games. It was the fact that I had a pair of headsets on and I was listening to all the game players talk and I could talk to them. I thought that was freaking cool. I loved it. I thought it was neat, except for when a little kid called me a blank bag, you know, and I'm like, whoop, 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 you know, and like this little 13-year-old kid. I mean, I could tell
some of those aren't even 13. They're like 8 or 10.
And he was calling me some pretty nasty words. I don't want to say them here on the podcast to keep it clean, but I was like, wow. And so I'm thinking, okay, do I want my kids playing this? And it wasn't even 36-year-olds or 30-year-olds. These were like teeny bopper kids that were cursing up storms and saying some pretty rank stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, I play Xbox. We have an Xbox and a Wii, and I play Xbox, and I have an online account through them, and so I have access to this online community. And if I was to go on to this community, I could potentially, in some of the multiplayer online games, you could potentially walk, an 8-year-old can walk into a room or be connected to a room with 35-year-olds or 30-year-olds, and they like to swear and they like to cuss, and when they die, they don't like it so much, and so they like to, you know, yell at each other and call each other names and all this stuff. So these kids are being exposed to this, and I've had the exact same experience. I've been playing a game. I know it's fantasy. I'm 35 years old. I know that these kids are, I know that it's not real. I'm not really shooting somebody, but that there's these kids that get really hyped up and really into the game, and yeah, they start swearing at you, start dropping N-bombs and F-bombs, and they're like, you, and they start talking a lot of smack, and I think that they get overly caught up in these games because their parents are like, oh, they're just gonna go play. And going back to a bunch of times we mentioned it, is having the parents really keep track of what their kids are doing, because I mean, there's a lot of games out there, but I mean, this is just from the Xbox website. For the Xbox 360, the amount of games that they have right now is 1,187 games.
Wow. Available.
That's just what you can play for the Xbox 360, right? 488 of those are action-adventure games. 4 are card and board games. 5 are classic games. 4 are educational games. 122 are family games, 92 fighting games, and then shooter games, 217. And there's lots of sports and recreation games, but even those can get pretty violent. You know, we've all been around at a football game when our team's losing. We're not exactly nice about it. So video games can either be really good in that they can be educational and that you could learn stuff from them, or they can be horribly, horribly bad in that they expose all these kids to violence and or violent type activity, or to people that are going to be using horrible language. So I just, we like to play Skylanders Giants. It's a newer game. It's for kids, but there's still some violence in there. You got to beat up the bad guys. And I really do not let Mo play a lot of it. We have to sit down together. Him and I play it together. He doesn't get to play it by himself for long periods of time. It's usually never on a weeknight for school. And we have all these rules. And I was just wondering what you guys thought about video games, if you guys let your kids use video games or what your plans are with video games as they get older, because they're going to want to play it if their friends do, right? Jennifer?
How many games did you say that there were total for?
For just the Xbox 360. There are 1,187. Okay. And I went to the PlayStation website. For PlayStation 3, there's something over 1,500 games.
interesting. You want to hear something quite interesting?
Sure.
This includes both domestic and international versions of games. The Atari 2600, notably one of the first video game systems that was available.
Loved it.
I loved it too, by the way. Across the world, internationally, both U.S. and international versions, so there were slight variations, there were only 215 games for the 2600. So I looked that stat up while you were telling me that because I wanted to sit there and go, and I mean, keep in mind, so cut that in half at least, right? Because the different versions, and that's what you get.
Yeah, no, that's crazy different.
Isn't that weird?
And the level of gameplay and the graphics of it and how everything looks. I mean, so some of the top games are, you know, right now are like Diablo 3. It's coming out, and then there's the new Ghost, first person shooter game, Grand Theft Auto 5. Those are all very violent games and all games that everybody wants.
Interestingly enough, I was looking through this list a little bit here. You may remember an old game called Decathlon. It was like an Olympics game on the Atari. And there were actually 7 different versions of that. There was a Canadian version, U.S. version, one in white, one in French. Isn't that weird? So that list of 215 games, there were 9 that were Decathlon, or 8 rather, that were, my math's carry the 2-1. You get the idea. There were, I mean, not that many.
So, Lainey or Jennifer, I know you guys are girls, and girls are not stereotypically the game players. Although, according to this
statistic... That's a terrible statement. What's wrong with you?
Statistically, according to the statistics I'm making up right now, 52% of the game purchasers are male and 48% are female. And, it's about that average. 47% are female that play, and 53% are male that play. So... I don't know if you guys play any video games, but there are women out there that play them. So
let's take a quick poll.
I mean, Rock Band's pretty much it, and some of the Wii games that are. But I mean, I haven't played in ages. Like, we haven't pulled all that stuff out to play. I mean, life's just gotten too busy. I mean, it's not a priority for us, so it doesn't end up happening. So for us, it's not an issue. But I think that there are some fun things. Like, I think Guitar Hero would be pretty fun, and I think that Rocky would have a great time with it. So that might be
by that time, it's going to be like the Atari 2600.
I know. But I mean, that's what we might end up having to do.
I don't have time to play video games. It's just not, on the list. Not even at the bottom of the list. It's just not on the list. It's not something that interests me that I kind of do in my downtime. You know, back in the day, I was a wicked awesome Mario Brothers, the original Mario Brothers.
Heck yeah. Do you know how many times I beat that game? Legend of Zelda?
Yeah, that I can do. And so occasionally when we want to do a throwback, we'll put Mario Brothers on, and my kids like to watch me play that. But it really does not happen.
You know, the interesting thing, so you brought up kind of 2 fun games here, but there were some educational or games that would stimulate kids here. I remember a game, and I see it here on the list, Space Shuttle, A Journey into Space. That was an Atari game, and you could pretend to be an astronaut, and you'd fly up to space. Wasn't a whole lot to the game, but it was like more, I don't know, you know, compared against Call of Duty, where you're, you know, they just were different.
Yeah, no, very different. Yeah, and my wife is not very happy when we play video games. When I used to play video games before we had kids, and I'd sit there for a couple hours, she would just come in the room and shake her head disgustedly. She's just like, oh, God, why are you playing video games again? And she, for me, it was just the way I just kind of relaxed, and I just took time off and downtime. But yeah, I mean, we're talking about just console games. I mean, there's video games everywhere, right? We were talking about tablets before. Mm-hmm. We were talking about computers. Those are all video games, too.
Oh, that's
and
true.
Those all are...
Then I can change my answer.
Some are educational, but some are not. So, I mean, you pick up a phone, and I have my wife and I have newer phones. We have older smartphones that we have let the boys use. I mean, they only use them at certain times, and they only use them for a certain amount of time. But they have, you know, Angry Birds Star Wars, or they have... I even found a newer version of Pitfall that Mo likes.
Pitfall was on the list.
Yeah. Pitfall is a newer version. Mo loves to play it. I mean, it's jumping, running game. It doesn't hurt anything really, but it's not very educational. So
it's funny that there are some educational games out there. Like if you go to PBS, Sprout has a great website with a lot of very educational games, more learning games, and the kids love that. I'll let them go to the Sprout website and they'll play. And
the ABC Mouse.
ABC
well.
Mouse, yes.
We haven't let Rocky on there yet because we're still checking it out as parents, but, you know, we'll get there.
Come on.
No,
come on, Mom. Uncle Mike, his godfather says it's all right.
Yeah, well.
Hey, it's all right. You got to let him do this.
We do have and I have to change my answer. You asked earlier what video games our kids played, and Rocky does play on the tablet. There's a Dora game that does letters.
Right.
And so he does his letters on, he plays Dora on either the tablet or the phone, and it's very occasional, not often at all.
Yeah, so.
I changed my answer.
Yeah, no, I mean, and like I said, video games are good, but they also can be, they can pull away from other things, right? Like if you're stuck playing a video game, especially some of the more intricate video games, you're constantly doing things. And kids are learning, like, mm-hmm. reward, risk and reward, right? They're mm-hmm. learning that if you go beat up so many monsters or go do so many things, they'll get... they'll go get their backpack, and they'll get stuff from their backpack or whatever they'll get. And so I know Mo loves to get treasure from Skylanders Giants. So he'll go just break things just to get treasure, and he loves to pick it up. And so, but he also, when we play, I make sure he shares that treasure. If we're playing together, he can't just take it all, right? So,
Jennifer, you're being really quiet over there.
Well, I'm actually looking something up because I wanted to share a resource. And this is something that my husband and I utilize a lot, whether it's deciding if a movie is appropriate for our children to see or a specific TV show or a video game. We use commonsensemedia.com.
Commonsensemedia.com.
And okay. And it's a great resource for kind of all media, and you can go ahead and plug in, you know, the movie title or the video game, and you can get a full synopsis of what that is. You can get a parent rating that talks about, you know, parents would suggest that this, you know, video game is appropriate for children 10 years old and up. And then it also give you a kid's review saying children think that this is appropriate for 7-year-olds and up. And so it gives you a lot of good information. I don't know how they do it, but it's good to know, because then even if you're not talking about the appropriateness level, they might be talking about from an interest level of, you know, well, you know, this is kind of babyish, and so kids, you know, aren't going to be interested in this if they're 10 years old, more like 7-year-olds. So, but it is a really good resource that we use quite often, more with movies than with video games, but it is our go-to, especially if they're going to go with someone to go watch a movie or go to grandma's house and watch a movie. We'll hop on there first and do a review and see if it's appropriate.
Have any of your parents or grandparents or anything like that commented on the programming that you subject the kids to?
Yes.
No. Mine haven't.
More video games for them. I said programming.
My mother-in-law would love to just let my son sit in front of... I mean, she let him watch a Captain... or a Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Band video from the 70s. So, yeah, let's talk about a psychedelic trip.
So she wouldn't have a problem with anything that you've subjected your kids to,
no,
as far as video games and...
We're really... She bought most of the Skylander Giants for Mo to play with, but...
Nice.
But, no, it's not... We're really cautious about what we do and what we let them do. I know that I wasn't really watched with my video game play. But again, when I was growing up, there wasn't the same type of video games. The most violent video game I had was Street Fighter, and there was even no blood in Street Fighter. So, but that's I mean, not to scare anybody, but I mean, we locally in the Northern California area, we had a guy that was recently arrested for suspicion of shooting cars after he was playing a Call of Duty game. So apparently he was on his game console playing a Call of Duty game and decided, this might be a good idea to try out in real life. So apparently he got his gun and started started shooting at cars. So obviously this is, you know, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. But this is not to say that video games or violent video games cause violent actions, but when they go unchecked and you don't talk to your kids about how bad these games can be or how fake they are, then I think you can have a really bad reaction. Just like, you know, when you talked about before learning Kung Fu, Dewey knows that Kung Fu is not for every day. It's not going to go out to his friends. He's not going to go and, like, you know, do a high block to the head and do a crescent kick to the groin or anything. He's going to use it appropriately, and he's going to know how to use it. And I think that's important to know about video games or anything, really. I mean, that's the job of a parent, right?
Well, I think it comes down to just responsibility and knowledge and kind of being able to talk to your children about what's appropriate and what's not, and when you use either specific skills you have or how you tell the difference between when something is real and when it's pretend. And we've been overly sensitive to exposing our children to violence and violent television and video games and those kind of things. And I think overall, both my parents and my husband's parents have been fairly respectful of that and are very cautious when they're exposing them to things. And we're in the situation now where our children are getting a little bit older. I mean, Red's 8 years old, and so it's more appropriate to go ahead and expose him to those things that I've wanted to shelter him from all along, so that he has some sort of point of reference. And it's not like all of a sudden he'll be at a friend's house and see something that he's never seen before and have that be awkward or weird or a brand new experience. I'm having to shift my thought process from sheltering them to exposing them appropriately and having appropriate discussions about it.
I was laughing over here because, Pedro and Joe are pretty sensitive about what Mo and Otis get, and I didn't know
gift wise,
yeah.
Okay.
That guns were off limits. I got
tried really hard not to give him guns.
And so, like,
you bought the kids a BB gun?
No, a Nerf. It was Nerf, right?
Mo's godfather, my brother-in-law, bought him a BB gun when he was christened.
Like a real BB gun?
Yeah, like a Red Ryder BB gun.
Oh dear!
But I did not. He doesn't use it. He did find it at one point, but no. The first toy gun that Mo ever really got to play with was thanks to Dan and Lainey.
Sorry, man.
It was pretty tame though.
It was like Nerf, right?
Yeah, it was like a little dart blaster gun, but it was a Buzz Lightyear. So it was, but he loved it, and he loves. Boys like their testosterone, right? It makes them be aggressive. They like to be aggressive, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. That's part of what they are. They're learning to grow up, and they're learning mm-hmm. how to control it. But guns and or knives. And I grew up in a semi violent area, and being a paramedic, I've seen lots of violence. So, and I want to make sure. And Mo knows now that guns are not toys. They're not there to hurt, or you shouldn't use them to hurt people. And they're not a play. They're not really a plaything, not real guns anyways. And then, so.
I have a mom confession. So our home too is gun free. We don't have toy guns or
real guns
or sensationalized gun play. And so I have been known at one of my kids' birthday parties to go through the presents prior to them opening them and removing.
Damn.
Yes, items. It's happened twice. And so it was when they were much younger.
I want to say not but, me.
In front of parents?
No, not in front of parents.
Okay,
We don't open presents during the party. No. We don't open presents during the party. Afterwards, I kind of like went sifting through and took out the things that I deemed to
be. Did you rewrap them as well?
Inappropriate. And then they were donated. So
good for you.
They were donated, and it's not that my children missed out on those items because they have more than enough.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Parent confession.
That's crazy. No, we don't open gifts in front of anybody else, in front of anybody, but yeah, no, that's
I think we have
inappropriate.
E-Man once got a set of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle nunchucks.
Oh yeah.
And I did, he opened them, and he opened them at his birthday party. And so that's a weapon in our household. And I was cleaning up the garage this past week. I ended up finding the nunchucks. We ended up taking them. Again, anybody that has children of any age knows you open all those gifts and there's like a rush of excitement. And so they just the nunchucks happened to just disappear. And they were in my garage, literally. And I just threw them out last weekend, actually. Nice. Bye-bye. Okay. I should have donated them, but I threw them out. I'm too lazy.
No, it's okay to throw them out.
So we have a question for you. Do you let your kids play video games? And if you do, what kind of video games do you let them play? And for how long?
You want me to put it as a poll on the website or?
We can just post it on Facebook.
We'll do it on Facebook.
Yeah, we can get some feedback. And if you respond to the post, then maybe we'll talk about it on air later.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of Parenthood by Fire. You can hit us up, of course, on
Twitter at ParentFire.
Or on
Facebook.com/ParenthoodByFire.
Or on our website.
Exactly. At ParenthoodByFire.com.
Beautiful. My name is Mike. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Bye.